Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Recently, my daughter and I began practicing Taekwondo together. It's good exercise, good community, and it's more intellectually stimulating than some other forms of exercise I've tried. Now, in Taekwondo, students of a certain rank are required to use their bare foot to break a pine board or boards as part of their promotion test. At the last test that I attended, the lead instructor explained that breaking a board is an act of faith. Breaking is an act of faith in your own technique and in the instructors who taught you. I witnessed this to be true in the faces of some of the students testing that day. Now, the size of the student didn't really matter. I saw one tiny little girl there. She might have been 6 or 7 years old. She barely let her instructors set up the board for her before, bam, she broke it and then returned quietly to her seat. Now, other students, nearly all of whom were much larger, approached their breaks with a variety of attitudes. Some, like that little girl, were confident. Others didn't really believe they could do it. And so when they approached their break, they just kind of bounced off the boards a few times, not really believing that they could do it, not committed to the break, until they were invited to sit back down. Still others approached their kick with a mixture of doubt and hope. And I enjoyed watching their expressions transform into shock and bewilderment when the board actually broke. Most of these students kicking approached their breaks with faces clouded with fear and departed from them with faces shining with delight. This was literally a breakthrough moment for each of these students. As I witnessed that test, I thought about what a great symbol those breakthroughs are. How, I wondered, does this relate to our faith as Christians? What are those breakthrough moments that make faith real, that give purpose to our practices, that make our faces shine with the knowledge that we are beloved of God, that change us into different people? The gospel lesson today recounts a breakthrough moment for Peter. One of the 12 disciples, a fisherman by trade, a devout Jew, Peter had been traveling with Jesus for some time. He had listened to Jesus' teaching for hours on end. Peter had witnessed the miracles that Jesus performed. Peter and Jesus had been through a lot together, and yet you might recall, our Gospels frequently recount Peter's foibles and his lack of faith. So in this moment, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" The disciples report back what they have heard. Jesus is compared to John the Baptist, the most recent sensation on the religious scene. He's compared to Elijah or Jeremiah or another one of the prophets. People are trying to use these old categories to understand who Jesus is. They want to contain Jesus so that they can know what to do with him. Now, when Jesus asks the disciples who they think he is, Peter immediately pipes up with this double answer. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." First, he says, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." This was a bigger category than a mere prophet. Messiah hearkened back to the days of the ancient kings who had been chosen by God, like King David. Jesus, said Peter, was no ordinary religious leader. Jesus was something bigger. Peter goes on to call Jesus the Son of the Living God. Peter says, "You're not just another man, not another prophet. You don't fit into these forms and categories that we've always used before. You," said Peter, "are tangled up with God in some whole new, different, and unexpected way that I'm struggling to understand." Peter is looking past Jesus' secondary characteristics, the miracles, the teaching, and beginning to perceive the true nature of who Jesus is, the presence of God in Jesus. Jesus answers Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. You have had a breakthrough. And this breakthrough is not something that was given to you by flesh and blood. It is a gift straight from God." What an amazing thing that is. Peter and the other disciples had been walking around with flesh and blood Jesus for months or even years. They have heard Jesus' teaching. They have seen Jesus' miracles. But it is not the flesh and blood who has given them a breakthrough, insight into the nature of God. It is Jesus' Father in heaven who has done it. Jesus has planted the seeds. The disciples have been diligent, if faltering, to receive those seeds. But it is God who has caused the shoots of comprehension and relationship to sprout up in the disciples' hearts and to break through the crust. God is faithful that way. Now, Deut likes to talk about the church as a gym, a place you come to work out your spiritual muscles with specific exercises like worship and fasting and prayer. It's a place where we find community for our workouts, encouragement, instruction, guidance on good technique. At church, we find ways to practice and to stretch our faith. We tell stories. We enact sacramental rites. We declare realities that are unseen and immeasurable. We practice things like baptism and communion, weddings and funerals, daily prayer, meditation, Bible study, confession, and service to others. All of these practices are designed to connect the reality of what we see to the realities that are unseen. Now, if we are awake, we will encounter a rite, like communion, for example, differently every time we practice it. When we break bread together, we may approach in confidence that God is present. Or, perhaps, in disbelief that God even exists. One day we may experience doubt and hope that God just might make a difference in our lives. And on another day we may feel nothing but fear that we are about to be let down. Our lives are constantly changing so that God's mercies are new to us every morning. Sometimes we approach God and we just bounce off, having nothing to show for it afterwards but a dull ache and longing, maybe a bruise. That's part of learning. Sometimes when God judges the time is right and we are ready for it, our efforts will be met with a breakthrough. maybe a subtle shift in understanding, or perhaps an overwhelming sea change to our whole way of life. God is faithful to meet our efforts and to give growth in the ground that we have prepared. Now, from these breakthroughs come keys to the kingdom of God, spiritual gifts, things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Thank you. These are just some of those keys, those traits that mark a life that is embedded in God's kingdom. These are the keys to the kind of life that each of us longs for. That which separates us from our goal is not as solid and forbidding as it sometimes looks. The barrier is actually quite brittle and easy to break through. It helps if you have reasonable technique, but what's most important is to have faith that it is God who empowers you. The thing about breakthroughs is that they're both harder and easier than they look. In the spiritual life, they are a gift from God, willingly, joyfully given. It takes faith to approach the communion altar and hold out empty hands ready to receive. It takes faith to find a quiet, lonely place and say, "Hello, God." It takes faith to show up to a small group and to decide just how vulnerable you are ready to be that day. It takes faith to decide that there may be something to be gained in skipping a meal or three in order to fast and pray. It takes faith to walk up to that board and announce which kick you're going to use to break it. It takes faith to believe that God is there and that God cares for you. If you can muster just enough faith to give it a try, my experience is that God will meet you there. God is faithful like that. And when that happens, get ready. Like Peter, you are about to have a breakthrough.